Let's look at our memory verse of last week's and learn a new one this week. Last week's memory verse was from Matthew 18:20. A very familiar verse. Let's all say it together loudly. Is it there on the screen? For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. Matthew 18:20. Shall we say it together without looking at the screen? Where two or three have gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. Matthew 18:20. And today is a small verse from Galatians 6:2. Let's say it together loudly. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Let's say that again. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2. Now I request Brother Ian Robson to come up and minister the word of God to us.
I want to share with you this morning something that's very important as to how we finish our life on this earth. I want you to look at Hebrews in chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews is a book that we would do well to study and meditate on, because the whole Christian life is written here. The book of Hebrews was written for the Hebrew Christians, those who from among Judaism found the Messiah, Jesus Christ, to be the Son of God. Many truths here that we read would help us to live the life that God has called us to live on this earth, and also help us to finish our life on this earth in the way we should finish. And that's what I want to share with you this morning in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14. It says there, we have become partakers of Christ if, I want you to notice that, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. And if you go back a little further, a few verses above, we read in verse 6, it says, Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if, there again we have that word, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Notice it there, both in verse 6 and verse 14, until the end. That means how we finish. We've heard in this church that's more important than how we began. We can begin well, but we don't finish well. Basically, because what it says here, we don't have that confidence. We don't hold fast our confidence, the boast of our hope firm until the end. Oh, in verse 14, we don't hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. And that's what I want that we think about this morning. The beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Holding fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. What does that mean? How did we begin, you and I? We have become part of the family of God. We are born again. And we know that Jesus has forgiven our sins. We have been cleansed in the blood of Jesus. We have surrendered our lives to Him. We have invited Him into our lives. We have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How did all that begin? Just think about your life. Let's think about my life. How did we begin? It's by faith, isn't it? And that's there in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. It says, faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And that's how you and I began. And that's how we are to end. If I'm to end my life well, I'm to remain in faith until the end. I'm to have this firm assurance. The beginning of our assurance, I hold it firm until the end. And if you and I live that life, we will finish our life well. We'll not just begin well and not do many things for God, but we will end our lives well. And that's something that speaks to my own heart. I want to end my life well. We saw in Pilgrim's Progress, you know, that right at the very gates of heaven, there was a road that led to the city of destruction. So till I finish, till I breast the tape, then I know I've done. Then I know that I fought the good fight of faith. So I want you to think about that, my brothers and sisters. How is it today? Are we on that path? Are we continuing in faith? Do I want to finish my life well? Or do I am satisfied with a good testimony that I have in the church? The brothers and sisters think well of me. I'm a humble brother. You're a humble sister. You're a man of faith or a woman of faith. Does not really matter. It's how I'm going to finish. And so the beginning of our assurance begins with faith. And I have to make sure that I hold fast to the beginning of that assurance. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, it talks there, it says there, let us draw near with a sincere heart in the full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. This is how we begin. We draw near with a sincere heart, with full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled clean, it says, from an evil conscience. That I can keep a good conscience before God and before man. That I have a new beginning, and I begin by faith. And in our bodies washed with pure water, just like we shower every day, we have a bath every day. Every day, I need my body to be washed with pure water. Every day, I need my mind to be cleansed and washed. And whenever we have opportunity, we wash one another's feet. We come together like this to wash one another's feet, so that we remain in faith. This is how we begin. But this is how also we are to end. And we must never lose this assurance till we finish. You saw in Pilgrim's Progress when Brother Zach so powerfully shared with us. We saw what happened to Christian, pilgrim who became a Christian. And the life, the path that he trod. How along the way he lost the scroll. And then he suddenly discovered. Good thing he discovered it. He had to go back. And the scroll is God's word that helps us to keep ourselves in faith. This assurance we get from God's word, not just by coming to the meetings. We can come to all the meetings of the church. But if I don't have God's word in my heart, I will not have that assurance. If I don't have God's word, if I don't study it, meditate on it, I will not get faith in my heart, because faith comes from hearing and hearing the word concerning Christ. That's how I get faith. That's how I keep myself in faith, not by coming to the meetings. Faith does not come from coming to the meetings. That's good if we come to the meetings, and we should not neglect that. But faith comes from hearing and hearing the word concerning Christ. I come to the meetings, I hear the word concerning Christ, praise the Lord. But how about Monday to Saturday? Is my life centered on Sunday? I tell you, my brothers and sisters, if my life is only centered on the Sunday meeting or Wednesday meeting, one more meeting, or you can add as many meetings as you want, and it's not centered in God's word, in hearing God speak to us. I pray, give us this day our daily bread. I'm not just thinking about the food on my table. I want a word from God's mouth, whereby Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the Father's mouth. And do I get that word? That's the only way I can keep my faith. That's the only way I can finish daily, if I live every day hearing that word from God's mouth that keeps me in faith, that helps me to keep the beginning of my assurance firm until the end, then I'll finish well. In the Living Bible, it paraphrases Hebrews 3 verse 14. It says, if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as we did when we first became Christians, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. So it's so important. And I feel that many of us don't progress because we don't have that assurance. We don't have the assurance that I've been forgiven. No matter what kind of life you lived, no matter how badly you messed up, but if you repented and you come to Christ and receive the forgiveness of sins by faith and be cleansed in the blood of Jesus and you have a new beginning and you believe God's word, that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. You believe that. Not just when you come to Christ, not just the day you're born again, but all through your life. Old things have passed away. New things have come. To hold on to that assurance. And when the devil reminds you of certain sins that you've committed in the past, that you've repented of, that you can say, like Martin Luther said, when the devil reminded him of all his sins, and he says, is that all? There's more, Satan. Right across it, the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. The devil vanished like that. But the thing is, we allow the devil to sit on our heads when he reminds us of something, some slip up, some mistake we made in the past, some sin. And we can be plagued with that. That even, you know, when you grow old and you age, I was talking to somebody, that you can be plagued with the remembrance of certain sins and how you have failed in the past. But to believe that if you have repented, you've been forgiven, it's cancelled, the debt has been cancelled, that's the assurance we are to have. That's what God's word says, Colossians. I'd like you to turn to that word in Colossians 2. Verse 13 says, when you were dead, Colossians 2 verse 13, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having cancelled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And when Jesus did that, it says he disarmed the rulers and authorities. He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him or through the cross. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. He cancelled my debt. How great a debt it could have been. He cancelled it. And when the devil reminds you and reminds me of certain sins you've committed in the past, that we can say to him, the blood of Jesus has cleansed me. I don't need to let him get onto my back. I don't let him get a place and let him sit on my head. I can say to him, be gone, Satan. You were defeated on the cross of Calvary. Jesus is finished. You are marched naked. You thought you stripped Jesus naked, but it's you who are marched naked. Because Jesus took my place. He cancelled the certificate of debt. That's the assurance, my brothers and sisters, we are to have, not just in the beginning of our Christian life, but all through, till the end. And the reason I believe some of us do not progress is because we don't have that assurance. We had it at one time, but like Christian, we lose it along the way through carelessness, through preoccupation with the things of the world, through worry and anxiety. We lose that assurance. And if we continue that way, we'll never finish it well. In Colossians 2 verse 15, which we just read, it says, in this way he took away Satan's power to accuse you of sin. That's the Living Bible. In this way, God took away Satan's power to accuse you of sin, and God openly displayed to the whole world Christ's triumph at the cross, where your sins were all taken away. And I want you, my brothers and sisters, to preserve that assurance in your heart. I guarantee you, you'll finish well. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 to 12, the words that we have heard often in this church. God says here, how much do we hold on to this? He said, this is the covenant I'll make with the house of Israel. That's with the church. After those days, says the Lord, I'll put my laws into their minds. I'll write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen and everyone his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all will know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Do we hold on to that? Or just when we are born again? We began well. We have the assurance there. But then we lose that. We don't believe what God says. I'll remember your sins no more. I hope every one of you here who has come into the family of God, was born again, been washed in the blood of Jesus, received the Holy Spirit, has this assurance. I will remember your sins and iniquities no more. This is the covenant. That's why I said, if you read the book of Hebrews, you will never get discouraged. It will always pump adrenaline into your spirit. And that is the way we are to live. With that assurance that God will not remember my sins and iniquities anymore. So, I should not remember the sins and the mistakes and the failures of others anymore also. Jesus said, if you forgive others, if you don't forgive others, neither will my Heavenly Father forgive you. And he says, you ought to be perfect as my Heavenly Father is perfect. Perfect in forgiving others. Jesus has made that possible. Perfect in releasing others from their debt as much as I have been released. And I have been released from a greater debt than anybody else owes me. I hope you recognize that. That we can forgive others. That I choose not to remember the sins and the failures of others. Because God chooses not to remember my sins and my failures and my foolishness. How much more you and me? And we hold it against others, and we have our hands secretly on somebody's throat. And we keep thinking of that sin that somebody committed against us, thinking of that failure, of that whatever it is. Then we will never preserve our assurance till the end. To have the assurance that we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Have you lost that? And we ask some, you know, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? I think so. I'm not sure. I've been asking. Few I've come across as, yes, I've been baptized. I know I've been baptized. I have the assurance that God has given me the Holy Spirit. That's the assurance I should have till right to the end. How did I get that assurance? By faith. The Galatians, at one time, they got it by faith, but Paul had to say to them, he said, how did you begin? You were running well. Who has hindered you? They began well. They began by the Spirit. But along the way, they decided to live by the letter. They decided to choose this path, the harder path of being legalists, of seeing God's command, of just wanting to obey God's commandments, living by rules and regulations, and forgetting that it's the Holy Spirit who fills the requirement of the law in our hearts. Romans chapter 8. The requirement of the law is fulfilled in your heart and mine through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by me struggling and striving, trying to keep God's commandments, trying to live a good life. If I open my life to the Holy Spirit, not just when I asked Him to baptize me, and I know He baptized me, but every day open my life to the Holy Spirit, the requirement of the law will be fulfilled in your heart and mine, my brothers and sisters. This is the assurance that we are to have and preserve until the end, the beginning of our assurance through faith. And every day through faith, I open my life to the Holy Spirit. Every day I pray, Lord Jesus, fill me with the Holy Spirit. There are going to be situations, there are going to be temptations and trials today that I cannot handle on my own. But I know that you will give me the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you have that assurance? Do you pray such a prayer? I do. I ask Him every day to fill me with the Holy Spirit, because I know I cannot manage on my own. And that's how some of us lose that assurance. The assurance that God loves us just as much as He loved Jesus. You believe that? You believe it now when I remind you. But what about in that situation? And you think God is punishing me. Oh, because I did this. Oh, because some sin I committed 10 years ago. And that's why I'm suffering today. God is punishing me. I often tell people, God doesn't punish. He's my Father. He doesn't punish. He disciplines. To believe that God loves you and loves me just as much as He loved Jesus. As He is, so are we in the world. To believe that in our hearts, my brothers and sisters, not just in our minds. That is the full assurance of faith. And we are called to draw near to God with that full assurance of faith, not just on Sunday mornings, but every day, the full assurance of faith that my sins have been forgiven. God does not remember my sins anymore, that I've received the power of the Holy Spirit, that God loves me as much as He loved Jesus. And to maintain that, preserve that firm until the end. Then we can finish well. And then look at Colossians in chapter 2. Colossians 2. And verse 2. Paul says there, "Is I pray that your hearts will be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth," listen to this, "to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ in Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." We can have a firm assurance of faith that we can hold on to. And I want you to see that we can have a wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding. Understanding God's ways. A wealth. Attaining, it says, to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding. Resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ Himself. In other words, I get to know Jesus better every day. There's a wealth, my brothers and sisters, that we are called to attain to. That I can live and walk as Jesus lived. I can become spiritually wealthy. It says in another version, it says, "May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself." That way I can become richer. I don't have to live a beggarly life. I can live as a king. You can live as a queen. We are called. That's what we are made. We are kings and priests. But we live like beggars on this earth. Because we have not attained to that wealth that comes from a full, it says there, from the full assurance of understanding. Of what we, you and I, have in Christ. To have that assurance and become wealthy. And it says in Colossians in 2 verse 1 in this one, "It is in Him and in Him alone that men will find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." In Him and Him alone, I will find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do we believe that? That whatever I have to do in this one life on the earth, that I can get all the wisdom and knowledge that I need through Jesus Christ. Whether it's your job, whatever you're doing, whether in bringing up your children, but in living with your life partner, I can get wisdom and knowledge to live in an understanding way with my life partner. This is the wealth. There's so much, my brothers and sisters, that we have not seen. Because we don't have that firm assurance of faith. We can have a wealth of knowledge that comes from knowing Jesus. And knowing Him not just casually once a week, but knowing Him every day. That in every situation I can get wisdom, I can get knowledge. And that's what it says. That in Him and Him alone, do I believe that? Oh, I think I'm a self-made man. I've got experience, I've got ability, I can do this well. I know what to do, I know how to bring up my children. And we boast about so many things. It says, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. And if I've received grace and ability to do my job well, or to be able to bless others, it's only because of God's grace. It's only because of Jesus. Let me never forget that. The full assurance of understanding that makes me wealthy. Spiritually wealthy. God wants that for every one of us listening this morning, my brothers and sisters, that you and I can become spiritually wealthy. That I can see that it's only in Him and in Him alone is all wisdom and knowledge. I can get wisdom to bring up my children well, to live with my partner well, to do my job well, to have a good relationship and good fellowship with the brothers and sisters. It's not by visiting one another. It's good if we can do that. But it's in Him and in Christ alone that we get all wisdom and knowledge. And to recognize that my Father runs this universe. That's the God I believe in. He's in charge. He loves me as He loves Jesus, like I said just now. It's not like the person, you know, with the sticker behind the car. I don't know if you've seen it. The car that I've seen many times. The back on the windscreen, on the back screen is, my boss is a Jewish carpenter. Is your boss a Jewish carpenter? I feel sorry for him because his boss closed shop long ago. I hope you recognize that. And if he wants that to be true, then he must go back to 25 AD and live in Nazareth. And when he goes to that shop, he sees a sign there, closed down. What will happen to him? My boss is not a Jewish carpenter. My boss is my dad in heaven. I hope he's your boss too. I have no doubt about it. He runs the universe. He's in charge of everything. Everything means everything. Not just the hairs on my head are numbered, but he reads Psalm 139. It's so blessed. I was reading it the other day that even the very thoughts I think, before I can think about it, he knows it. He knows when I sit down, when I stand up. Do you believe that? Psalm 139. He knows when I sit down, when I stand up. He knows my thoughts from afar. He knows the words I'm going to speak even before I speak it. That's my Father in heaven, not my boss. My boss is my Father. He's in charge of everything. I have no doubt about it, my brothers and sisters. And when I believe that, and when I have that firm assurance, whatever may happen, in sickness or in health, in whatever may happen, if I have less or more, my boss, my Father is in charge. I hope you will have that assurance and you'll hold it firm until the end. And then I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 11. It says there, we desire that each one of you, Hebrews 6 verse 11, you know, before that it says, God is not unjust as to forget your work and the love which you have shown towards His name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. You see those words again and again, four times in the book of Hebrews, until the end, until the end. The full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. He says that we desire each one of you show the same diligence. What diligence? Just as you minister to the saints. You know, praise God for those who minister to the saints. And he says, just as you've been so diligent. And in some way or the other, each of us wants to minister to the saints, the brothers and sisters. We want to help them. We want to bless them. The same diligence, he says, you're showing there. He says, you show the same diligence to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. In other words, we must never slack off the full assurance of hope. John says, if we have this hope within us, we will purify ourselves as He is pure. We don't slack off there. When the going gets tough, we don't slack off and think, you know, like David said at one time, he said, in vain I have purified my heart. He looked around, he saw people with no trouble. He says, they have no trouble in this life, they are fat, they are wealthy, and he says, in vain I purified my heart. But he says, until I went, Psalm 72 I think it is, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I saw their end. So sometimes we may think like that. And we can lose that assurance. We can get slack. It says that we are not to be sluggish. You know, sluggish is a result of indifference. Sluggishness, laziness, carelessness. We are not to be sluggish, it says, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. This race is not for those who want to drag their feet. We have to run, my brothers and sisters, not drag our feet. We have to run looking unto Jesus. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And we have to imitate those who through faith and patience inherited the promises. But I want you to see something. And I don't know if you noticed this before. Between Hebrews 3, what we started with, Hebrews 3 and verse 6, and Hebrews 3 and verse 14, there's something there, sandwiched between what we read about holding fast our confidence in the boast of our hope until the end, firm until the end, verse 6. In verse 14, we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. There is something very important there. I want you to look at it. It says there, in verse 7, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as when they provoked me, and so on. They saw, your father saw my works for 40 years. God says, I'm angry with this generation. They go astray in their hearts. That's where we begin to lose that assurance in our hearts. That's where we go astray. They did not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brethren. Brethren, brothers and sisters, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And then we read that word, if, for we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Two phrases there. Take care. And today, take care. I want you to remember that. Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Today does not mean just Sunday, my brother, sister. Today means Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And when you come back next Sunday, you can say, yes, every day I heard His voice. I didn't harden my heart. And I take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you, no matter how long we have been in the church, in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God, but encourage one another. And that's what we are to do. Encourage one another day after day. We don't have meetings every day, but we live with our partners every day. We meet somebody, maybe a brother or a sister, every day. But at least those of us who have families, every day I can encourage my partner so that I don't get hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. And take care that there's not in any one of us an evil, unbelieving heart. And the way to get rid of that is to encourage one another every day. And then we will hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. May God give us grace that you and I will finish well. Amen.
Shall we sing a song? But I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Come, brothers.
Let's just sing the chorus and we'll come back and learn the verse someday.
But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Once again.
But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Sometimes we wonder after hearing words like this, what if I don't hold fast till the end? What happens of me? You know, we need to understand how it all began and who started it. I didn't start it. You didn't start it. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When Adam sinned, God didn't sit there on the throne and wait for Adam to come. He came after Adam and said, where are you? And even today he comes after us. The Bible says Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, we were all lost, but Jesus came to seek for us. And he who has begun a good work in us, it is he who is going to complete it. Jesus said in John 15, verse 16, he said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain." See, we read here that none of us chose Christ. None of us went after him. The Bible is very clear that no one seeks after God. No one seeks after God. Maybe we can see that in Romans 3:10. As it is written, "There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands, and there is none who seeks for God. There is none who does good, and not even one." So when we look at these verses, we realize that it is not in our hands. It is He who began this work in us, and He will complete it. And it is He who works within us to will and to do of His good pleasure. We read in Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, you who have been born by me from birth, and have been carried from the womb. Even to your old age I shall be the same, and even to your graying years I shall bear you. And I have done it, and I shall carry you, and I shall bear you, and I shall deliver you." You saw that? From our birth to death, God promises to be with us. And He says, from your womb, I have carried you. And even to your gray hair, or in other words, into bracket, even when you go to the grave, I am there, I shall be with you, I shall bear you. It is He who promised us, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." When God says, "I will never leave you," nobody can snatch you out of God's hand. And His grip is so good that even if I wriggle, I will not. But if I tell Him, "Lord, I want to go," then He will not do anything against your will. He can let you go. You can jump out of His hand. Because Jesus said, "Nobody can snatch my sheep out of my hand, and they are in my Father's hand." But if you want to jump out of God's hand, the father of the prodigal son didn't hold him back, didn't tie him to a chain and, you know, kept him at home. He said, "Okay," he gave him his share and sent him off. You want to jump out of God's hand? God will not hold you against your will. We read of certain people in Ephesians 4:14 that there are some people who are like children all the time. They are tossed hither and thither by every wind of doctrine. Somebody comes and tells about this doctrine, they say, "Yes, brother." Somebody says about something else, they say, "Yes, brother." Somebody comes and lays their hands on them, they fall this way. Another group falls this way, they will fall that way. So, 1,000 may fall on your left hand side and 10,000 on your right hand side. If your faith is anchored in the Lord, you shall not be moved. Like Psalm 125, I think it says, "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. It shall not be shaken. It's firm. It's been there for ages and millenniums." You shall be like that. He who trusts in the Lord shall be strong and do exploits. Don't be like small children, tossed away here and there by every wind of doctrine. Be strong and be convicted in your convictions. And based on God's word, if you hold fast to the confession of your hope, what happens? Read Romans 15, verse 13 it says, it's a lovely verse. I want you to remember this verse. How you are filled with joy and peace. You want your life to be filled with joy and peace. This is the secret. Romans 15 verse 13 it says, now may the Lord or the God of hope fill you with all joy, with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. How do you get hope? How do you get peace? How do you get joy? Like it says, it's by believing. Believing what? They believed his word and sang his praises. You believe God's word, and that assurance comes into your heart and you will not let go of it. You will hold on to it through thick and thin. You know, the Bible is very clear. Job said he lived in the old covenant and he said, I have treasured his word in my heart, and I desire them more than my necessary food, he said. In the old covenant, even when the Bible was not written, probably he heard God speaking to him and those words were so precious to him. He had a lot of wealth, silver, gold, cattle, camels, donkeys, so much of wealth. And he was probably in those days the richest man on earth. And he said, I have treasured God's word and I esteem it more than my necessary food. You know what he says when he's going through all these things? He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That means even if God kills me, I will still die trusting him. Like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, they said, even if our God doesn't deliver us from this fire, we will still not bow down to this idol. You see, they were the ones who held fast to the hope of their confession, to what they believed. Sometimes we come to the end of our life and we wonder, Lord, what's going to happen to me? You know, it happened to Paul. You turn with me to Acts 27. Acts 27 and verse 20. You know this incident here where Paul, almost on his last journey to Rome, he was going to present his case before Caesar, and there he, you know, boards a ship to go to Rome, and that ship meets with a tempest, and it is tossed about and it is wrecked. And it says in verse 20, and since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small storm was assailing us, from then on all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned. You see, so Paul came to a place where all hope of being alive was totally abandoned, because number of days they didn't see the sun nor the stars. They were, as it were, under a cloud, and it is a cloudy, gloomy time, days together. They thought everything is finished. But you know what happened? An angel comes and speaks to him in the night. Verse 24 it says, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. And because of that, in verse 25 he says and encourages those other passengers with him. There were about 270 or something. He says, therefore keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. You see, the scripture was not written that time, the full scripture, only old covenant was there. But an angel of God comes and speaks to him in the night, and he latches on to that word of the angel and he says, I believe God, that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. Do you believe like that? We have innumerable promises and words given in the Bible. Do we claim them and hold fast to them and say, I believe it will turn out to be exactly as I have been told. God speaks to you sometimes. See, these are all general promises, but sometimes God specifically gives you some promises. And He speaks to you in your heart, or maybe when you are meditating or having your devotion, God speaks to you through a word, and it comes very personally to you. And that is the word of Rhema. That is a particular word that God gives you in your tough time, your situation. And you latch on to that, hold on to that, and see that it comes to pass. And it will, because God is not a liar. He has promised, and He will do it. And God is faithful. Hold fast to those words. One more place I was thinking, where Paul almost came to the end of himself, in verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1, 8, it says, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, for our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life." In another translation it says, "We gave up all our hope of living. We thought we were going to die. But indeed we had the sentence of death within ourselves, in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead," or "in God who cannot lie." You know, there are certain things that are, we say all things are possible with God, but you know, the Bible says there are certain things that are not possible with God. For instance, it is impossible, it says, for God to lie. There are certain impossibilities for God. It is impossible for Him to lie. And it says here that we should not trust in ourselves, but trust in God who raises the dead. If God has promised you something, He will definitely do it. He is not like man to go back on His word. Believe that, brothers and sisters. Even if you come to the end of your tether, like somebody said, when you come to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on there. Don't give up, because God is for you. Jesus said in Hebrews 13:5, I think, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." I will, in some translation it says three times, "I will never, never, never leave you nor forsake you." Let us be honest with God and say, "Lord, my faith is like that father of that boy said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." If you go to Him with that attitude, He will never say, "No, you don't have enough faith." Even when we don't have enough faith, He will not leave you, it says in Timothy. Brothers and sisters, God loves you enough to die for you. Even when we didn't deserve it, He loved us and died for us, sent Jesus to die for us. How much more? I want to end with this one last word. Make this your confession. And whenever you feel overwhelmed, remember this verse in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. Always remember this verse. 2 Timothy 4:18, you can confess it often to yourself, and whenever you face difficult situations, "The Lord will deliver me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. I'll read that again. The Lord will deliver me. Or shall we say it together, all of us? The Lord will deliver me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And may I request Brother Rabi to come and share.
We were thinking about how the Lord wants to build our assurance, that the assurance that we had at the beginning of our Christian walk, that the same may be strong at our finish, to lead our assurance firm to the end. The Lord has not called us that our faith should be standing on the rickety bridge of my own, you know, power of positive thinking, or on my own psychological mind tricks. I'm trying to convince myself that all things will work out well. He hasn't called us to that. He has called us to an experiential founding on His Word, on knowing God as my Father, not based on the words that I hear from this pulpit, but words that I've experienced in the circumstances of my life. I was thinking my faith is not founded on my own feelings, but on the foundation of His faithfulness. My God is a faithful God. He is my Father. He will take me to the end. I was thinking of, in Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son, he took his way back. He started on the way back. You know, he came to his senses basically because he knew that I will get up and go to my father. He wasn't going back to his brother or anyone else. He knew his father. In Luke chapter 15, verse 18, we see that I will get up and go to my father. No matter where I'm stuck, he's my father. I can go back to him. I was thinking about in Luke chapter 15, there we have the circumstances of Luke chapter 11. I have this person where there's a situation where somebody came needy to a person. That he did have, this person didn't have anything to offer to him. A neighbor, he came and he didn't have anything. His larder was empty. He didn't have anything to give. But he knew if I go to my friend, and in our circumstance, if I go to my father, he will give me. He will give. Even if it's late, even if there's nothing, even if he's in bed, my Lord will give me. We heard about the shipwreck in which Paul was stuck. And we know that shipwreck, that storm was not to a shipwreck. It wasn't going to a shipwreck. It was so that our faith could be built in that circumstances. It's so that we can see this glorious Lord who through the storm is building something in my life. God doesn't take me through a fire to just see how I'm going to squirm there in the fire. He takes it because He wants to refine something in me. He wants to build something in me. He wants me to have something to give to others. So that when a weary one comes to me, I have something to offer them. I have real bread. I have experiences to build up the faith of the weary one. It's not that God wants to make the reality of this word experiential in my life. So that I am not talking about theory. I'm talking about practical experience of this living God who will not let me go, who will not leave me alone in my circumstances. I want my faith to be built up on this word. There was one circumstance that I've been seeing in my own life. There's outside my bedroom window, there's a nest. It's on the second floor, and in that nest, a few months ago, two kites, the kites laid their eggs in the nest, For a long time, the eggs were just lying there. The mother is on the nest, just sitting there. And after some time, you know, I'm seeing day after day after day, the mother's not budging out of that. And thought came, is this egg still born? Is nothing going to come out of this? But God's word, you know, when I'm seeing the parallel, you know, God's word that is written in our hearts, is it like going to be stillborn? No. God's word has life in it. And truly, just like that one day that egg hatched and, you know, a scraggly chick came out of it, God's word is powerful and true. It will come to pass. I don't have to you know, doubt on it. God's faithfulness is true. The word will come to pass. And the chick started to grow. Beginning, they were like a ball of feathers. And you think that up high in this tree, three stories above the ground, maybe this chick will fall down. Or it's feeling claustrophobic in its nest. But God has His growth. You know, all day long, the chick is doing nothing but eat what the mother provides. And the word that God provides us, that's sufficient. That's sufficient to build us up for our, not just for our spiritual needs, but even for our physical needs. And as I can see, those chicks are growing. That scraggly ball of feathers have become like, you know, the sleek feathers of the mother eagle. And one day this bird is going to be soaring in the air. God wants to take us through tough circumstances, but He's a father. He knows how to tighten those, you know, the dials of our situation so that what comes out is His work, His faithfulness, His transformation, and His growth. I was thinking of this this hymn, "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word." God has His word for us, which is sufficient. And, you know, if we just trust it and obey it as knowing that this is words from our Father, then truly we will grow in Him. I was thinking of the last verse of that that hymn. It says, "The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes." John 6:37. "He comes to me, and he who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. That soul that all hell shall endeavor to shake, I will never forsake." We have such a God. We have such a Father that He will not let us go in the tight times. And we'll know that those tight times are simply to build up our assurance and to build up our faith that He will be there till the end. Amen.
This morning we want to welcome all those who are visiting us for the first time. So if you are visiting us for the first time, will you please stand where you are so that we can greet you and welcome you and give you a small gift. Anyone else who is visiting us? Yeah, we are very happy to have your friends visiting us this morning. Let's give a hand and welcome all our friends.